Hello everyone. The little one here wants to introduce everyone to the speech, so go on.
What do you want to say?
Alright, you can go sit down now. Rubbish. So he said hello. I'm saying thank you for everyone for coming in the first place. I'm trying to keep this speech fairly brief because, in fairness, no one's listening to me. They want to get down to the best man speech, don't they? So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Michael. And not Marco, as someone called me earlier. I can't see you, but you know where you are. I'm not going to dig you out. But can I start off just by saying congratulations and a big round of applause again. I had some proper savage stories. A couple of them were borderline illegal. So I ran them by and I'm not allowed to talk to you about those. But I will allude to them. But obviously, I'm doing a speech for a reason. Obviously, our dad can't be here today, for obvious reasons. About 3 or 4 years ago, when he got a little bit ill, he did ask me to say a few words, should this occasion ever crop up. And these are his exact words. I've written it down again, but I can't read it. He said, and I quote, "If she ever gets married, please tell her that I'm really, really proud, but I feel sorry for Keith." I wish I could be there, but as you know, I really hate weddings. Love Dad. And they're genuine. They're genuine. That's properly genuine, isn't something I made up, and Lisa will vouch for it. So apart from the legal stuff, there was just one thing that really used to irritate me when we were kids, so I thought I'd just talk about that for a little bit. So one of the most annoying or funny things I remember from my childhood related to back when we were kids, you come home from school and you plant yourself on the sofa and you wait for tea to be shared through. But in our living room, there was one sofa. One little seat. It was bang next to the record player, right in front, smack back in front of the TV, remote to the left, and the front door to the right. So you were central to everything that went on in the house, essentially. So TV, music, sitting down doing nothing. Everyone loved that seat, particularly the old man, because I don't know if you know particularly well, he never used to wear a lot of clothing. So he used to always have his top off. Dad.
Oh, I said, what was
that? So he always used to have his top off and his shorts on after work. So if you opened the door when you walked in, he sat on the sofa, like sort of parallel to you, you'd think he was naked. But everyone loved that seat, particularly Michelle. So at mealtimes, when we got shouted through, you'd jet through to try and get there first, because then when you got your tea, you'd usually come back and you'd sit in that sofa. The remote, the front door, you could look at everyone who's coming through without actually having to get out your seat and do anything. But then it was game on because there was two of us eating. So if you've ever watched the Olympics and you've seen the individual pursuit relays in the velodrome, so you'd start off just casually glancing at each other, looking to see who was eating quickest. After a while, usually the person in that single seater was the pursuer, because she'd be looking at you, waiting for you to make a move with your tea. So you start eating, and out of the corner of your eye, you can see, oh, she's speeding up. So then it was all an effort just to keep your seat, really. So you know, I then had two choices. You either put your foot on the gas and get your scran down, you're fairly sharpish. So then you can leg it through to the kitchen, leaving her with her plate. So when she has to get up, you're back in that chair. or I'd just leave my meal and get through to the kitchen. But in fairness, I never left my meal. ever.
If you sat in his dad's chair,
yeah, granddad.
But having said all that, sometimes it was more difficult to get hold of the seat. So so I'd start getting proper crafty. So what I did one day to get her out of the chair so I could listen to the record player was I had to mooch through to the other room, pick up the handset or the house phone, ring the other handset from internally, tell her it was one of her mates, she'd bomb out the chair, I'd get in, bosh. So it might not have been funny to everyone else, but that's just something that sticks in my mind. I lost where I am now. So, as I said before, there are the loads of the stories I could talk to you about. And I know this isn't like a Mickey Take speech, but I didn't know what to do. So, I can't say that. such as getting savaged by a swan at Wisby Garden Centre.
Oh.
Getting fingers caught in a mouse trap when trying to nick the cheese, yeah. I think.
Oh, shit.
One of the things I'm not allowed to talk about is I'm not going to mention some very, very questionable driving on the motorway. But I'll leave that to you to explain. No, it's many years ago. No, you can't. Can't either that. So just to finish off, on a more serious note, I know the old man's not here, he didn't really like weddings, but I'm sure we're very, very proud. And we don't talk about how pretty she looks, or how pretty I look. Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff. But she does look alright. And I'm sure we're very, very proud. Another thing the old man said to me was that he would offer Keith one piece of advice. And that someone once said to him, there are two ways to handle Michelle. It's just unfortunate for us all that no one knows what they are. That's it. Nothing safe. And that's it finished.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're about to witness a very unique event in the history of the couple formerly known as Duplo. This is probably the first and very last time Michelle is going to let me speak on behalf of both of us, at least in public anyway. Okay, so before I start properly, I think it's worth a mention there's going to be a few toasts in this speech. So just make sure that your glasses are charged and ready. Going off what I've seen from table 7 over there in the corner, you guys might want to sip, not gulp. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Firstly, I'd like to thank you all for coming to help us celebrate today. Michelle has put a lot of time and effort into organising today, and I can honestly say it wouldn't have been the same without you all here. Would have been a lot cheaper, but that's not the point. Leading on from that, unfortunately it's not been possible to have everyone here with us today. We know they're here with us in our thoughts and our hearts. I know Michael has referenced that already. So the first toast of the evening, I'd like you to stand and raise your glasses to absent family and friends. Absent family and friends. Thank you. That's the last time I'll ask you to stand tonight, so. So today then, I haven't just gained a wife, but I've also gained a family. Thank you to all of you for making me feel so welcome. And Joan, thank you for letting me unofficially move in when we were saving up for the house. Most of all, thank you for bringing Michelle up into the woman that I have married. We don't usually do this soppy stuff, so. Joan, you and Don made me quickly feel like part of the family, and I can't thank you enough for that. I'm very proud to have been able to make that official today. I'm also incredibly grateful for the beautiful, intelligent, funny, and sometimes stroppy daughter that you've raised. And I promise I'll take good care of her. Never before have I met such an intriguing lady. Degree educated with absolutely no common sense. Mum and Dad, thanks for coming. seriously, I know it's hard to believe. I haven't always been this handsome, intelligent, athletic, wise and modest man you see stood here before you. Over the years, my mum and dad have helped me more than I care to think. They've guided me through thick and thin, mainly thick if I'm being honest. But they've been here for me and I hope that I've done them proud. I really couldn't ask for a better mum and dad, and thank you for everything you've done. Thank you. Now I'd like to raise a toast to our parents. To our parents. And on that note, I'd like to present the mums with a small token of our appreciation. Dad, you just get the bill, unfortunately. So. Which ones is it, these ones? Joan, this is for you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Kate.
Of course, today we couldn't forget the other man who played a huge part in today. He was supposed to walk Michelle down the aisle, but being the demanding young gent that he is, he demanded to be attired in a Star Wars themed outfit. Of course, we're talking about Toby here.
Yes.
Darth Vader was the character of choice, I believe. Obviously, Darth's image would have clashed horrendously with the overall theme of the wedding, so this was put on the back burner. But I'm sure Debenhams would probably have had more success sourcing that outfit than they did the LMS men's suits, but that's a story for later. Thank you, Toby, for giving us the rings today, and thank you for everything you do, from helping with Finley to keeping your bedroom tidy. Well, helping with Finley, at least. So, Toby! Right, on to my next page now.
That's quite long, Keith.
It's not too bad.
Someone's timing.
This is the edited version, this is. Now, due to the Darth Vader standoff, Michelle couldn't walk down the aisle on her own. So the job of giving her away fell to her big brother, Michael. Michael always made me feel at ease around him and has always been very welcoming. Being a big brother myself, I know how sometimes you need to lay the smack down on your sister's new squeeze. Isn't that right, Jason?
You love me.
So I thank you, Michael, for not smashing any wrestling moves on me, because I've heard the stories about your living room and wrestling moves. So I'm sure any sibling relationship has its ups and downs, like the ham incident and the wrestling moves. Ask him about it later. It's quite a funny story. But not a day goes by when Michelle and Michael don't speak. And I know it means a lot for her to have you walk her down the aisle for so that. I thank you. So a toast to Michael. So Michael. So during this whole wedding planning experience, I've learned a few things. Number one, whenever she's right and I'm wrong, admit it. Number two, whenever she's wrong and I'm right, just keep quiet. She knows wrestling moves and her aim is improving all the time. The bridesmaids have been incredible in this aspect, keeping her on the straight and narrow and lending assistance as and when it was required. Michelle has banned me from saying that the bridesmaids look stunning. So instead I will say this. You all performed your duties admirably, and as a token of our appreciation, we have some gifts for you.
I've already got them.
Apparently you've already got them. So, another toast. Toast the bridesmaids and all the cocktails they've drunk in the process of planning this wedding. To the bridesmaids. Almost on the last page. And as a side note, Michelle would have preferred the picture of me with my moustache than the one that he used on the mask. So as glamorous as the bridesmaids are, they were duly enhancing their bridesmaidy roles by the stunning bouquets that Lisa has handmade for the occasion. Oh, yes. So Lisa, thank you for the beautiful flowers, and you definitely got a talent and you should totally start it up as a business. And show her thanks, here's a gift. And it's not flowers. Now, I think it's time to mention the groomsmen. So after some initial suit fitting related upsets, you've all made it and you all look stunning. She's not said I'm banned from saying that the groomsmen look stunning. Traditionally, the groom nominates his best friend as best man. And in my case, I feel privileged to count you all as my best friends. In my head, I like to think of a sort of less fit, less athletic version of the Power Rangers. Individually, we're pretty good, but combined, we are awesome. I just can't work out who is the Pink Ranger. In all seriousness, though, I know each of you from different times in my life, and I count on you as my bestest friends, if that's even a word. And without you guys, I'm 100% sure I wouldn't be the person I am today. But it would have saved a fortune on the suit hire. So thank you all for everything you've done today and the organising of the stag do, which I get the feeling was mainly Lewis. And thank you for everything you do for us, be it from plastering to sounding out harebrained schemes. So my final toast to this speech is dedicated to the groomsmen, but the actual toast is this. So here's to those who have seen us at our best and at our worst and can't tell the difference. Cheers. Cheers. So I could stand here all day and give you a load more stale jokes, but instead I think I'll leave that to the best men. Ladies and gentlemen, don't believe anything these clowns tell you, the best men.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, before we start, Michelle, would you please place your right hand on the table in front of you? Keith, will you place your hand on top of Michelle's hand, please? Some of you may know that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Colin and I'm one of the best men. I'm sure you'll all agree today it's been a brilliant wedding celebration and we've still got Keith's dancing to look forward to.
Renowned.
I did ask for a microphone today, but was told one wasn't available. So if you can't hear me at the back, the silence at the front should reassure you that you're not missing anything good. I was advised not to make this speech too long, which was fine by me. In fact, I was told that a best man's speech shouldn't last any longer than it's likely to take the groom to perform his husbandly duties on his wedding night. Which was even better news. So, ladies and gentlemen, please raise your glasses to the bride and groom. I would like to thank firstly the flower girls and the page boys, Alice, Toby and Finley, and if you could all raise your glasses to them please. I would also like to thank the bridesmaids, Corinne, Emma, Mel and Shelley. I'm sure everyone would agree that they're looking fabulous. The bridesmaids come second only to the bride herself. I'm sure you'll all agree, looking simply stunning. And Keith, who looks simple and stunned. Keith, you will leave here today having gained a beautiful wife who is warm, loving and caring. Michelle, you will leave here today having gained a lovely dress and a beautiful bouquet of flowers. It was a bit of a shock when Keith first asked me to be his best man. I questioned what I'd done to deserve the honour, until I found out he'd asked everyone to be his best man. I wonder how many others he asked prior to the ones chosen. Most importantly, I thought to myself, would I still get a free meal if I turned it down? Naturally, I wasn't going to take that chance, so here I am. Now, traditionally, I'm supposed to use this opportunity to recall embarrassing moments to ridicule Keith. However, I've been put under strict instructions not to mention any stories about Tommy went to Birmingham. All the time, Keith and another one of the best men, Richard, decided to be sick beside each other in Barcelona in the toilet and sink. Next, I'd like to take some time to thank a few people who, on the face of it, have had a fairly easy day. They have had to cope with the difficulty of standing around, pouting and looking pretty. They spent a lot of time on their hair and makeup, and without them, the day just wouldn't be the same. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to Richard. Now, as part of the speech, I'm apparently supposed to sing Keith's praises and tell you all about his many good points. Well, to be honest, I'm not a great liar. I did have a few cracking stories to share with you, mostly show and tell stuff, but the props I take from Keith's special box were confiscated by the venue. I wanted to tell you about Keith's years growing up, and given that the pictures usually paint 1,000 words, I wanted to find a photo to represent his period to show you all. So I asked around. In my quest, I sent a cute photo of Keith, lying on a rug in his birthday suit, dribbling, his cheeky grin covered in chocolate from the biscuit held in his hand. As I say, I was looking to get a photo to enlarge to present to you today, but given this photo was taken only last week, I thought it might cause a little bit too much embarrassment. I also wanted to find out what Keith was like during his early days. Unfortunately, while investigating Keith's school days, I came across a school report, which I have an abstract for you. Technical drawing. Although very keen, Keith has a distinct problem differentiating between inches and millimetres. Much change, Michelle? Keith, as a married man myself, I'd like to pass on a few words of advice. Always remember to say 3 words any wife is always wanting to hear. You're right, dear. Never go to sleep in an argument. Stay up all night until you've won. And a happy marriage is one of give and take. The husband always gives, and the wife always takes. I'm kind of not looking at Michelle anymore. She's looking at me angrily. Now, if anyone was wondering why I asked Keith to place his hand over Michelle's, I will now reveal it all. Keith, it has been my pleasure to be able to give you the last 5 minutes in which you've had the upper hand. That is never going to happen again. I've been looking on it for inspiration and what other advice I could give the happy couple. I turned to my wife Vicky and asked, as a couple who have been married for just over a year, what advice would you give Keith and Michelle? Without hesitation, she replied, don't get married. And I thought I was a model husband. I, of course, had to turn to the internet for some small nuggets of advice, and I found the following. Somebody once said marriage is a 50-50 partnership, but anybody who believes that knows nothing about marriage or women. A happy marriage is a relationship where one person will always be right and the other is the husband. Here's something that every couple should remember. The moral to having a successful relationship is that one good turn will get all of the duvet. Now, before we go any further, marriage means what happened in the past stays in the past, no questions asked. And now that these two lovely people have finally tied the knot, they have agreed to forgive each other for past indiscretions. So if anyone has ever been given a key to the house, would they please return it to me now? Keith, how many keys are there?
Three.
There's still one more key missing, so could the next person please come up? To participate now. Don't worry, it's not another upper hand gag. Keith and Michelle, would you please stand and face each other? Would you link hands and gaze into each other's eyes? Okay. In fact, everyone who has a partner or wife, please stare into your partner or wife's eyes. Now, as some of you may know, my current job is crime related. And I just want to make you all aware that statistically, you are now looking into the eye of the person most likely to murder you. Now, just before I finish, ladies and gentlemen, do you please all do me a favour and please all stand. All the ladies, can you please place your hands above your head about 6 inches apart? And all the gentlemen, please place your hands above your head with your hands together. Can I now please ask to take a photo of the room so it looks like I've got a standing ovation? And I'll be happy if you can send me that later. And you may all just sit down. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be pleased to know that's the end, and I'll pass you over to Lewis. So, for any of you who don't know me, I'm Lewis, another one of Groomsmen. Now I'm stood here, kind of wish I had a bigger font at the sort of Keith this morning. So, I met Keith about 5 years ago through Michelle, and he's honestly one of the probably best blokes I've ever met. So it's a real honour to be one of your groomsmen today, and this is probably the most daunting bit of the day. So I've actually known Michelle even longer than Keith. The first time I met her, she was in a lovely Tesco uniform with static trousers. And it's quite a change today. So Michelle, you look beautiful, and Keith looks pretty pleased with himself as well. So I know that Michelle's been planning this since before they're engaged, and Keith started about 4 weeks ago. But I hope, apart from the speeches, everything has exceeded your expectations. And just to see this many people here today is really, really good. It's amazing how far people travel for a free meal and some complimentary drinks. But seriously, seeing this many people is a real credit to both of you to celebrate your day. So now, like Colin said, you meant to kind of sing his praises a little bit, tell him about the good bits of Keith, and exactly the same as Colin. Can't really lie about it. So, scrape together a few little good points about why he'll be a good husband. But as you can see, it's going to be quite a short speech. you'll be glad to hear, Michelle, we have limited on his drinking today, because after his stag do where at 9 o'clock he was done, we've limited, but it's all right, the dancing gets him going again. So, you'll all have seen him with the boys, Toby and Finlay, and have seen what a great role model he is to the both of them. I don't think I've ever seen a child smile as much as Toby as when Keith hands him a sledgehammer to start smashing stuff or power tools and just hear Michelle scream after him. So Michelle, you'll always know that Keith will be prepared and meticulous in everything he does. Could say he's a bit like a dog with a bone, whether that be arguing with the council about the leaves at Jones' house for months on end. Ensuring any legislation or policies at your work are correct and they don't impact on you. And also at his own work. So I asked some of the guys at his work and he said that he's got this little black book that he takes with him to meetings. So he sits there and he absorbs all the information, writes everything down, goes away, does all the research and every single piece of legislation, policy. So when they have another meeting 2 weeks later and they say, oh, I said this, Keith will be, I don't believe that is exactly what you said. And he puts out this little black book, puts it on the table, and apparently they just shrink a little bit and keep
going. The management hate that little black book.
So you'll always know that he's very thorough in what he does. He's also a pretty handy guy and can turn his hands to most things, so there's probably not anyone in this room where Keith hasn't turned up at the house with a van full of tools ready to fix something or build something. If any of you have been to the house in Scampton, you'll know he took that one step further and built a house on the back of the house. So I assume once the wedding's done, Michelle will be putting in some planning application. You'll be going up for another story. So got a few more bits to say. One is just what a great couple you make. You both know how to wind each other up, but it's always done with a smile, and it's part of why you work so well together. You're just as stubborn as each other as well. And a fine example of this would be a couple of summers ago when you were doing some work outside in the garden. And I believe it was Michelle had a cup of tea
And as you see now, they've got those little fences outside. You put it down. And then they all went inside. So you're probably thinking, oh, at some point someone went in and got it, or the next day. Nope. This went on. This mug sat there for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And neither of them would budge on this. In the end, it was Toby, who was fed up of looking at it, to end the standoff. So I'm not really sure what it says about you two, but I think perhaps Toby's the mature one in your household. So when preparing a speech, I thought I could conclude by summing up a few Keith in a few kind words. So struggling for some inspiration, I turned to some of his friends and gave me the first words that popped into their heads. Might want to get some new friends, Keith. And last thing, so this is actually a last minute inclusion, as you can see by the text. So Michelle said to me yesterday when we went for a meal at the pub, and she said to me that she'd like, in front of all these witnesses, to make a declaration that not only does she gain a husband today, but she's so excited that she gains the Astra as well. A car that she loves and loves and loves and never wants to get rid of. So wrapping up, on behalf of everyone here today, I wish you both many years of happiness and a long and fruitful marriage. So if everyone could raise their glasses and join me in a toast to the new Mr. and Mrs. Plowman.